I'm going to invite you to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. For this reading, I'm going to ask you to stand. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Traditionally, many of us grew up in a church where when you read the Bible at the beginning of a sermon, you stood. You'll see that sometimes I do that and sometimes I don't. It's not a lack of respect or reverence to the word if we don't stand when we're reading the Bible. In fact, many times in the scriptures, you'll see Jesus reading the scriptures himself sitting down. So it's more of a culture to us. It's more of a tradition. But it's not a lack of respect or reverence to the word. But there'll be times when we read the scriptures that we'll say, hey, let's all stand up as we get ready to read the scripture. Give it attention. And there'll be other times when I'll say, hey, it's okay if you stay seated, but come follow along. And neither one of them is wrong. Some churches may have a different culture, a different tradition, but neither one is wrong. And if anybody, feels real different against that, I'm willing to sit down and learn as well. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Today we want to speak on the theme, an encounter with Jesus brings change. An encounter with Jesus brings change. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10 is a story that is very dear to my heart. I hope that it ministers to you this morning as well. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on the account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He had gone to be with the guest of a man who's a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the teaching of your word. I pray, Father, that it would land in our hearts. I pray that it would minister to us this morning. I pray that it would stir something up new within us this morning. Open our ears to hear, our hearts to sense what you want to speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. An encounter with Jesus brings change. An encounter with Jesus brings change. I love the story of Zacchaeus. It's a story that many can relate with. The seeking of Jesus in a time of need, in a time of desiring change, finding him and starting a life change in your life. And I love that when we look at the story of Zacchaeus, it really depicts a man that wanted something different, that wanted something new. He knew that he needed change. We know that he was a tax collector. A tax collector in those times was somebody who was well-to-do, somebody who had the favor and protection of the Roman government, but it was somebody who was considered a traitor to their own people. He was a son of Abraham, an Israelite, and he would collect taxes from his own people and give it to the Roman government who had them under captivity. And it seems that scripture teaches us that they would also skim a little bit off the top for themselves, and no one can do nothing to them because of the protection that they had from the Roman government. So tax collectors were seen as cheaters, as traitors to their own people, as thieves. They were not allowed to go into the synagogue with the other sons of Abraham. with the other Israelites. They were not allowed to go into the synagogue to pray or to hear scripture. They were considered outcasts. They were marginalized. They were traitors. And it seems to us that Zacchaeus was at a point in his life where he was unhappy with the decisions that he had made. Maybe he was missing the synagogue experience. Maybe he was missing the love of his family, the love of his community. Maybe there was something within him that knew that he was wrong. We could see that as we read the story, there was a repentant spirit within him, you know. And here he hears that Jesus is coming into the city. Perhaps he had heard already, if we could speculate, he had heard already about Jesus. So he knew that Jesus was coming into the city, and his desire was to meet him, to see him. And the Bible teaches us that he was a short man, so he climbs on a sycamore tree so he could get more height so that he could see who Jesus was. Perhaps he had heard that this Jesus received all people. He received the Jew and the Gentile. He received the woman and the man. He forgave sins. He healed the sick. Perhaps Zacchaeus had heard that he even liberated the possessed. And he approached those that had leprosy. And Zacchaeus is probably thinking, if he's open to all those people, maybe he'll be open to me. Perhaps Zacchaeus even heard that one of Jesus' disciples, Matthew, used to be a tax collector as well. And now he follows Jesus. And Zacchaeus must have thought, man, if he did it for them, maybe he'll do it for me as well. And he climbs the sycamore tree, and Jesus could see Zacchaeus wants his attention. And I love what Jesus says. Jesus says, come down from there. And he says, quickly. And today I want to go and I want to abide in your house. And we know the story. Zacchaeus takes him to his house. And in his house is his own community of tax collectors. That's all the tax collectors were allowed to affiliate with. Tax collectors. And the people, the Jews, the others there said, look at Jesus. He's in the house of a sinner. And we see the repentant spirit of Zacchaeus, who says, if I've done anybody wrong, I'll pay them back fourfold. And I'm going to give half of all my wealth to the poor. And we see that an encounter with Jesus changed Zacchaeus' life. And the church says, so I love this. And I'm reminded that our encounter with Christ needs to be new every day. Needs to be refreshed every day. Pastor Naomi was singing about it today. The worship team was singing about it. That your spirit renews us today. It is a reminder to us. And I love that God says, through the prophet Isaiah in 43:19, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you perceive it? Do you not perceive it? Do you not sense it? And I love this concept, this thing that reminds us that God is a moving God. He always is doing something new in us. He's not doing something from last year in us today, but he's doing something new for us today, every day. It's a new level that he wants. It's a new word he wants to speak into our hearts. It's something new that he wants to draw us to. Every day, the Lord is doing something new within us. And it's only our encounter with him that allows us to experience it. That allows us to experience it. So, three steps I want to share with you today. Three steps I'd like to share with you this morning. That we could just kind of look at Zacchaeus' life and pull this teaching out for us today. The first one is, consider how you are living. Consider how you are living. When we have looked at Zacchaeus' life, we can see that he was at a place where he was ready for some changes. We've said this already. He no longer wanted to be considered a traitor among his people. He wanted to be reconnected to God. Perhaps he wanted to go back into the synagogue. He had considered how he was living, and it seems to us by what we read in the scripture that he was not happy. Here comes this Jesus who touched and changed so many people's lives. Maybe he'll do it for me. He did not like his state and how he was living. Perhaps there's some of us who are here today who feel like, you know, I'm in a place where I need some changes. I'm in a place in my life where I need something new. I'm not happy with where I am, and I feel like I need a revival, I need a renewal. It doesn't mean that we're lost. But it does mean that we're at a place of evaluation that says, you know, I'm ready for God to spark something new within me. I'm missing the fire I once had, the passion I once had, the love, the commitment I once had. I'm missing something, and I'm ready for something new. Consider how we are living today. You know, perhaps, you know, some would ask, well, how do I consider how am I living? How do I consider that? You know, how do I do this self-evaluation? So three quick things that I want to share with you this morning on how we are living. How can we do this? How can we consider this? The first one is ask others, what do they say about you? Now, it's easy to approach somebody and say, hey, tell me something good about me. Oh, my God, we'll sit down, we'll pull our shirt down. All right, let me have it. Tell me something good about me. Well, that's pretty easy, right? But how about sitting with somebody and says, man, I'm struggling with my life. You're very close to me. What are some things that you think I need to change? Now, obviously, we can't approach yes men for that. We have to approach people who truly love us, who are close to us, who we know that will only, their words are only to uplift us and help us, not to tear us down. Like when my wife and I are talking, if she says something that hurts a little bit, I won't evaluate her heart, because I know her heart is good for me. So I must evaluate the words, because she intentionally will not want to hurt me. But if her words hurt, I won't put on the scale her heart, because I know her heart for me is right. I must put on the scale the words. So we must surround ourselves with people that will help us evaluate how we are living. Good people, whether they be our pastors, our best friends, our spouses are on that list. Our children should be on that list. How are we living? And open our hearts to hear what they have to say to us. Helps us evaluate how we're living. Maybe they're going to say to us things like, you argue too much. If you ask my wife, she might say something like, he's always right. And I agree with her even right now. Right? What would they say? Maybe they'll say something like, those dear to you, it bothers me when you use foul language. Or maybe they'll say something like, you get so angry so fast. Evaluate how we're living. How do we do that? We ask those who are close to us. Oh man, you know, I think that you're a little selfish at times. Oh man, those are piercing words. But we don't put on the scale of the heart. We put on the scale of the words for evaluation. So ask those who are close to us, you know, what do you see in me? What needs to be changed? How could we do self-evaluation? Number two, we could ask ourselves, what are our passions? Be transparent with yourself. What are your passions? Is our passion money? The American dream? To have these things that, is this our passion? What's our passion? Is our passion our hobbies, our sports? Is our passion God? Is our passion ministry? Now, passions are not bad. We all have passions, and we all need to have them. They're on their list of priorities within our life, but this will help you evaluate where you are in how, as you evaluate your life. Oh, you know, what are my passions? Is my passion my ministry, my family, my spouse, my children? What's my passion? That'll help us evaluate. Another thing is to recognize your weaknesses. How am I living? How do we evaluate our living? Well, what are our weaknesses? Everybody has them. In fact, Paul writes in Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Everybody has them. And the Spirit of God helps us in our weaknesses. So we need to identify transparently with ourselves, what are our weaknesses? Maybe you deal with this sense of insecurity. I remember in our first few years of pastoring, I dealt with, every pastor deals with a level of insecurity. Every pastor does. It's across the board. Maybe some may say, no, I don't. Listen, my experience is every pastor deals with some level of insecurity. In the beginning, I remember I wanted to be, you know, at peace with everybody. My first couple of years, man, how can I manage this in a way where everybody likes me? But we know how that goes. Today I've learned it's not possible. You get yourself ready to manage conflict because conflict exists in the fallen nature. Right? So you understand insecurity. Well, what are our weaknesses? Maybe we have a flirtatious spirit is our weakness, that we tend to give eye to things that we shouldn't give eye to. Evaluate ourselves and recognize we have, how are we living? And ourselves can do it. Maybe we deal with anger. Maybe we deal with selfishness or lust. Maybe we deal with a particular weakness that is particular to ourselves. We live in the fallen nature. It's not to marginalize ourselves because we have these weaknesses. No, on the contrary, it's to recognize them and put us in a place where we could overcome them. Not to let them be our what will defeat us. No, on the contrary, it's to recognize them and know that the Spirit of God helps us in our weaknesses, in our weaknesses. So we're talking about an encounter with Jesus brings change. Our first step is evaluate how we are living. How do we do that? What do others say about us? What are our passions? And recognize our weaknesses. And that's how we evaluate how we're living. And the church says, our second step, consider where we are looking. Consider where we are looking. We must look for Jesus. We must look for Jesus. I love that Zacchaeus, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. So I love that Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming into Jericho, and he wanted to see him. I could imagine him in his being a short man, colorful gown, being well-to-do. He climbs a tree, and Jesus recognizes him. And Jesus is determined to get to call him out because he sought Jesus out. He had intentionally created a way to see Jesus. He made it a resolution within him at whatever the cost would be, even if it was to shame himself by climbing a tree. But he wanted to see Jesus. Consider where we are looking. We must look for Jesus. To allow for change in our lives, we must consider where we are looking. Some people are looking in all the wrong places, trying to find what they need. They look in all the wrong places. You know, some people look to the church for change. Church cannot change anybody. We can only point you to the one that changes life, and his name is Jesus. Right? Church can't change anybody. You know, where are you looking? Some think, you know, if I'm active in ministry, let me talk to the pastor, get me involved because I need change in my life. And they think if they're active in ministry, that will bring change. Unfortunately, we have seen many in ministry that have made very bad choices. Ministry in itself cannot change anyone. You know, others have thought, if I could just marry the right man or the right woman, that will help me get right and bring the change I need in my life. We all know that's a formula for disaster. Get yourself right. Get yourself well before you take somebody into a place of brokenness. Right? We are reminded that change will only come if we look for Jesus. You know, some think if I could just open the Bible and leave it open all night long, it's going to work for me. I had an uncle that has gone to be with the Lord, and he'd leave his Bible open in Psalm 91, and he's hoping that the evil spirits would just kind of move on out because the Bible was open in Psalm 91. Somebody needed to tell him, stop going to drink. Stop going to hang out in those places. Stop seeing all those. You need to stop doing those things and read your Bible for what it means to you, right? We'll remember that only Jesus brings change. We must look to him. If we want to experience change, we need to look for Jesus. There must be an effort on our behalf, like Zacchaeus, to look for Jesus. I love that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So that we will not grow weary and lose heart. So that we can live the life that God has called us to live. We must fix our eyes on Jesus. If we want real change in our lives, it would only come as we focus on what God is doing in us and through us. Someone may ask, well, how do I look for Jesus? You know, how do I do that? Yeah, we do that through our spiritual disciplines. We do that through obedience to what he has called us to do. And some will say, well, what does that mean, obedience? Well, whatever the good and the right that you know you should do, then do those things. Start there. Whatever you know is good and right. I know I shouldn't lie. I know I shouldn't cheat. I know I shouldn't manipulate. I know I shouldn't. Well, the good that you know that you should do, let's begin to do those things there. You find Christ there. Our spiritual disciplines, we find Christ there. The psalmist said, blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. There we find Christ. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. There we find Christ as we make this intentional desire to find ourselves in a place where Jesus is. Obstacles will come when we want to look for God. For Zacchaeus, his obstacle was his height. He couldn't see above the crowd. And he made the effort to climb the tree. Obstacles will always exist. In fact, the more you look for Jesus, the more obstacles you will find in your life. We must understand that we must be intentional in looking for him. Look, people will try to discourage you when you are looking for Jesus. It's an obstacle of life. People will try to discourage you. The enemy, this is spiritual warfare. He will plot schemes against you to discourage you. A doubt will come into your mind. Can I do this? Can I really be the Christian that God is calling me to be? Doubt will come into our mind. Is this really the truth? Obstacles always come when we are looking for Jesus. But we've come to understand that if we want true change, it starts from where we are looking, and we need to look for Christ. And the church says, our third step this morning, the first one is consider how you are living, the second is consider where you are looking, the third one is consider abiding with Christ. If we want to make real change in our lives, we need to abide with Christ. I love that Luke chapter 19 verse 5 says, and when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay. I must abide at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Once you allow Jesus to enter into your house, things will begin to happen. Change will begin to occur. How renewal takes its place when Jesus abides in our house. I love that he said, I must stay at your house. I love that he uses that word. I must stay at your house. In other words, there's something that we need to get right, and it'll happen as we spend time together. The change occurs as we spend time together. The key word here has to do with abiding. It's to sit at the table with someone and to spend time with them. As we sit at the table and we spend time with someone, we get to know them, we get to share with them, and they get to share with us. Many want to seek God, but they want to seek him through religion, and they want to seek him through habits and tradition and culture. But if we want to seek God, we must seek Him through His Word and enjoy His very presence. And it's there where there is change in our lives. We need to allow God to abide in our homes. And as He does, it is a continual work that begins to happen within us. You know, some will say, you know, I've been coming to church for years. But when we evaluate their lives, they're like in and out. I'm here for a season. I'm out for a season. I'll come once in a while when I can. And then we see this insecurity or we see this lack of commitment to their relationship with God. Not the attendance of the church, their relationship with God. And what happens is there's never a continual working in their lives because they haven't had a continual steadfast walk with Jesus. It is through the test of time that we come to understand and know our Savior as we spend time with Him, as He abides in our house. It is there where we get to experience His forgiveness. It is there where we get to experience His grace. It is there when He abides in our house where we get to experience His love for us, His faithfulness in all seasons. It is only when He abides in our house when we get to enjoy His power over temptation and over hardships and circumstances. It's only when He abides in our house do those attributes become a reality for us. But if there's no abiding, if there's only in and out, if there's only, oh, I got to church today, I heard a good song, a good worship, oh man, that moved me. But tomorrow, I kind of fall back into my old ways where there's not a continual seeking of the Lord, that there's no abiding, and it doesn't come to us that way. It's through a test of time, longevity. Go to some of the mature people of our church and ask them, how has this worked for you? They will tell you, it's faithfulness through time. Some people want to come to the Lord today and they want their lives to be completely better 2 weeks from now. 3 weeks, it doesn't happen. It took us years to get into the mess that we're in. It's going to take us some time to get out of it as well. It's going to take us some time. But it has to do with Christ abiding in us. And there we get to enjoy His attributes and what He has for us and the love that He has for us and His desire to see us prosper and His desire to see us do well and to come to love the Father, that He died on the cross that we would come to know the Father. And He says, I've come and I've opened this doorway where you can commune with the Father. I bought you out of slavery. I've bought you out of condemnation. I bought you out of sin so that we can abide and you can come to know the Father. So as I close our teaching this morning, I want to remind you that we must abide. For if we abide, we come to know Him and what He's doing in our lives. And that is how we experience an encounter for change. An encounter for change. There are many that have had an encounter. They come and wow, they feel good. They come to the altar. Wow, this was wonderful. But if nothing else happens after that, then that's all it is. An encounter that has brought no change. But when we have come to know Jesus and allow Him to abide in our house, change occurs. And I love what Zacchaeus says in verse 8 to Jesus. As Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I'll restore it fourfold." Change. When Jesus abided in His house, He experienced such a change. And in front of His tax collector friends, and in front of a community that had disowned Him, He says, I will change how I have lived because an encounter with Jesus has brought change to my life. And the church says, I heard an author write, and he said, can we add Jesus to our lives and not change our ways? And then he says, it is impossible. It is impossible. Where Jesus is, there's always change. So as I finish our teaching today, an encounter with Jesus brings change. Evaluate how you're living. And it doesn't mean that we're lost. It just maybe means that God is speaking to us. Talk to those who are near you, who love you. Say, how am I living? Evaluate your passions and your weaknesses. Say, what's dominating in my life? Look for Jesus. Look for Jesus. Don't look for religion. Don't look for people. Look for Jesus. In the church, we will help. And people help. But ultimately, our eyes are on Christ. People will fail us. Church will fail us. Pastors will fail us. But Jesus, He will never fail us. And then allow Christ to abide in your home, in your life. Abide. Give it the test of time. Not just one or two Sundays. Test of time. Enjoy the presence of the Lord in your life. So that you can enjoy His attributes, what He has for you. Because His attributes are for the church. They're for you. They're for me. Enjoy the attributes of the Lord. Enjoy His love for you. Enjoy His forgiveness for you. Enjoy His grace and His mercy. Enjoy it. It is for us that we could sit at the table and abide with Christ, and He can serve and share. Enjoy it, for that abiding will change our lives forever. And you will stand up like Zacchaeus. If I've done anyone any harm, I will pay them back fourfold, and I will give from what I have to the poor. You will stand up and say, Lord, I will serve You, because I've come to know You, and I've come to recognize the best that I have in this world is You. An encounter with Jesus brings change. And the church says, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm going to invite you to stand. Worship the Lord, hallelujah. For He is worthy, He's worthy, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe there's someone here today. Not that you're lost, but that you know the Lord is speaking to you in this hour. And you would like a prayer of faith to help you light a fire where a fire needs to be lit. As we sing this next song, the altar is open. I'm going to invite you to come. We want to pray with you. Maybe there's someone here today, though, who says, man, I'm so far from God right now. I need to find Jesus and have an encounter that will change my life. I need Him to abide. Well, today the Bible says that there's restoration for you, salvation for you. There's revival for you, resurrection for you. The only one that can bring life is Christ. He has the resurrection power. Maybe there's someone here today who's far from God who says, I need Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. Today is the day of salvation. As we sing this next song, if you'd like prayer, the altar is open. God bless you. God keep you. Hallelujah.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.